Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. The National Football League has come under fire for its efforts, or what many perceive as its lack of efforts, to protect the lifelong health of its players. Advocates for former players say a lawsuit settlement represents the beginning of an effort to make things better for people who have sustained head injuries, but much remains to be done. And beyond the effects of concussions, former professional athletes face many issues after they leave the playing field. George Kuntz knew a lot about these things even before he started his doctoral research. Kuntz played for the Green Bay Packers for 8 years and the Seattle Seahawks for a year. But more recently, he took a close look at the lot of former professional athletes in his coursework at Marquette. And that dissertation also led to a book due out early next year. George Kuntz is with us in the Lake Effect studio to talk about his work. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mitch.
How did the end of your own football career play into the work that you are now doing?
It was very instrumental because when I reflect over my career, my time, especially the 2 years out of playing, I was really kind of lost. I didn't really have a place to kind of go and settle in. But I had a lovely wife at the time. She's since passed away. Her name was Tanisha, who encouraged me to go back to school to really pursue my dreams and everything. And that's what I did. I enrolled at East Carolina University in the sports management program. And from there, I had aspirations to at some point receive a PhD and get into administration on college campuses.
Now, the end of your career, we should flash back to that point. You did not get the big announcement of your retirement and the press conference. You basically just didn't get asked back. And how much of the difficulty is that it was unresolved at that point?
It was very, very difficult, you know, because like so many players coming into the National Football League, they have aspirations to play about 10 years. But in reality, the average player plays 3.5 years. I was very, very fortunate to play 9 years in the National Football League. And I was with a great organization with the Green Bay Packers, 8 years up in Green Bay, 1 year out in Seattle with Coach Holmgren. But it was tough, the whole transition. So therefore, when I got into the PhD program over at Marquette University, and I talked to a couple of my professors, Dr. Richard Jones and Dr. James Holstein, talked about my research project, talked about my dissertation, and we came to an agreement that we should do some research on the whole life after football, the whole transition. And it's been some really good work, and I had a chance to interview over and talk to over 5,000 players. I've interviewed about 21 that I have documentation, transcribed those interviews, and I was able to write my dissertation. And the day that I submitted my dissertation back in May of 2012 is the day when one of my peers, one of my good friends, a guy by the name of Junior Seau, passed away from a gunshot to the chest because he wanted to preserve his brain because he said that he was having all types of suicidal thoughts and all types of issues after his playing days. So he was later diagnosed with CTE, a type of brain disease that comes from constant hits to the head of playing the game of football.
This is, I think, what, chronic traumatic encephalopathy.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Mitch, I couldn't say that.
I'm not sure I could say it either.
You did a great job.
Well, and we hear so much these days about those lingering physical injuries, whether it's the long-term effects of repeated concussions or things like knee and hip and other joint injuries. Are they the primary issue facing former players, or are they just part of a bigger picture?
I think it's a part of a bigger picture, and I think, Mitch, I think you hit the nail on the head. There was a documentary recently on PBS, the NFL Concussion Crisis, the League of Denial. It was in conjunction with Frontline, and they talked about the whole concussions and the whole suicidal and all that. But I think concussions is just one piece of the bigger picture. My personal experience, my mom got me involved in football on the Pop Warner level at 9 years old, and I was very, very fortunate to play until I was 32 years. So I was about 23, 24 years into one sport. I built that whole identity of being a college athlete, high school athlete, a professional athlete. And when that identity was lost, I was lost. And I went through the same grieving that I went through when I left the National Football League as when I lost my wife October the 7th, 2000. about 4 years ago. So leaving the National Football League, or leaving, I think it's applicable to other careers as well. Let's say if you've been a principal, you've been a teacher. Let's say you was in the military, you're a veteran, and you was in one particular role for very, very long, and now you're out. There's going to be a transition process that you have to go through, unlike, you know, be a football player, unlike any other career that you may be a part of.
Do you think, given the reality there, that, you know, you are not unique in the sense that most, if not all, of the players you played with probably came from similar situations? They were introduced to football at a young age. This was a huge part of their life. Do you think leagues like the NFL and even going to big-time college sports, do they owe something to their players to help them through that transition?
There's a lot of resources, Mitch, available. You look at what the NFL Players Association, I think there's enough. If we start playing the blame game, I think there's enough blame to go around to the NFL as a whole, the NFL Players Association. There's blame that can go around to, you know, the families. You know, because a lot of the players in the National Football League, I think about 70% of them are from, you know, from single parent household. You know, and it makes that whole transition even harder for those individuals. So
you've talked to, you said, about 5,000 former players, interviewed a subset of those players. What are the kind of conclusions that you're coming to, and what do you hope? You know, if you could wave your magic wand and say, my research has had exactly the effect that I hope it would, what is that effect?
Well, I think, for one, a lot of players feel like, you know, when they receive that college degree, because there's about 1,800 players in the National Football League, 60% of them have their college degree, unlike, you know, baseball, hockey, and what's the other?
Basketball.
Mm-hmm. We know the rules are different. You have to be 3 years removed from your high school graduation to go into the National Football League.
And do you think that's a good thing?
I think so, especially for football, because, you know, you have to be really, really not only mature from a mentality standpoint, but from a physical standpoint. I don't think a lot of kids are really ready at 18 years old or 19 years old to go into the National Football League. You know, LeBron James, let's say a player like that going to the National Football League is really, really rare, but it can happen. You know, let's say like a Hakeem Olajuwon, who came from Africa, never played basketball before in his life, came to America, went to the University of Houston, played about 2 years and was the number one pick overall. You don't hear about those type of stories.
They're the exception, the rare exception.
Right. But one of the things that a lot of the guys talk to me about is having an opportunity to transition into a job, a real job, because when they leave those college campuses, for one, they can't work because the NCAA said you cannot work and be on full scholarship or be on scholarship, right? So a lot of those guys don't have the skill sets to do anything else. So we got to do some things from a systemic standpoint to give those guys the ammunition to go out there in corporate America to get a job.
There was just a situation in the past few days as we're having this conversation at Grambling State University,
yes,
where players have essentially taken matters into their own hands and said, you know, we're feeling exploited and you're not taking care of us and we're not going to play for you. What is your take on the level of power that the players have at the college level? Should colleges be listening more to their players?
I think so, because, you know, you have the whole conversation that's going on whether players should get paid, the whole amateurism, that whole status. I think my personal take on it, Mitch, I think that there's about to be a movement because, you know, when I was in college in the 90s, I think back then it was a multi-million dollar business. Now, sports is on the college level is a multi-billion dollar level. So I think, Mitch, in the next 2 to 3 years, people are going to have to figure it out. That's way more smarter than I am. But players are going to be getting paid in some form. I don't know if it's going to be a stipend. I don't know if it's going to be just the revenue sports. But there's going to be some things that's going to be implemented to help to put the players, because it's gotten out of hand. When you're talking about coaches making $6-7 million, a lot of people may say, "Well, George, you had a scholarship to play for East Carolina. Mitch, you let's say you played for Madison, but basically the university is paying themselves when George Koontz is sitting in those classrooms, and let's say if you playing football for UW-Madison, you're sitting in those classrooms, the university is paying themselves. So I don't know, the benefit all balances out. But the young people that's coming up, that's matriculating through middle school, high school, and into the college game now, I think because there's so much information out there, and I think there's about to be a movement.
Do you worry about public perception? You know, I'm sure there will be people who will hear this interview and will say, well, you know, this is a relatively small group of people we're talking about, and they were paid very well at the pro level for what they did. So why should we be concerned about the welfare of former football players?
Right. Well, let's talk about Johnny Manziel. He's at the University of Texas A&M. Johnny alone brought $137 million to the university. He has a scholarship, about $15,000 or $20,000. Okay. The university had a record fundraising achievement. The university brought in 1 year, 2012, $760-something million.
Right. They're renovating their stadium.
Renovating, and they're going to put them up to 102,000. So we're talking about major, major money. And like I said earlier, I don't know what that breakout would be, how much a player like that should get paid, but I think a lot of players are saying, you know, we deserve more than what we're getting. How much that is or what that number is, I don't know. I'm looking at the landscape. It's changing.
As we said, you interviewed quite a few former players, and just as a former player yourself, you must see people leaving the game and dealing with many of the same issues that you were dealing with. At one level, it must break your heart a little every time you see this.
It does, because you see a lot of players in the National Football League that was in the locker rooms with me was very, very confident. They were very, very confident in their skill sets, knowing what to do, knowing what was asked of them, and they could go out there and do their job. But once they left the National Football League, and a lot of players I talked to said that that they couldn't really handle not having that structure, because let's say when I got in the game at 9 years old, I knew basically every day after practice what I was doing, when I would travel, and that happened for 24 years. So when I was out of the game, just that aspect alone, I was lost, you know, and then being depressed. Because I couldn't do, because I didn't leave the game voluntarily, you know. And so I was very upset on how I didn't leave on my own terms. And that was very, very difficult for me to stomach as well.
Well, and this must be like a stigma on top of a stigma. Like, you know, football players, we don't think of them as, you know, these are guys who are going to deal with depression. These are, you know, these are strong guys who are really in charge of everything.
Right. And then when you leave the game, you're not calling your teammates and saying, you know, hey, Mitch, I'm struggling with family issues. I'm struggling with my family. I'm struggling from a financial standpoint, because the whole masculinity kicks in. And a lot of guys don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the bad. They want to talk about the good. They want to talk about – and when I do talk to my especially guys that was on my Super Bowl team, they constantly want to revisit the glory days. But rarely they want to talk about what's going on from their kids or their spouse or their parents. So, but we have to do some things and let them know that if you need, from a mental standpoint, if you need to see someone, don't be ashamed. I've gone to see someone to talk to, because it's tough. And you have a lot of stuff that you're dealing with. And sometimes you just need to talk to somebody to help you work through it, talk through it.
Do you think, has the needle moved on this conversation since you were a player? Are people talking about it and working through it more today than they were 10 years ago?
Mitch, I tell you what, that's one thing that I want to have come out of my research, especially with my professors over at Marquette. We want to really start this conversation, have this dialogue moving forward, because we don't want to be having this conversation, I know, 20 years from now, 15 years from now. We want to be looking at players like a Dave Duerson, who graduated from Notre Dame, who was a trustee at Notre Dame, was an excellent businessman, but then he turned around and killed himself. We don't want to be looking at situations like a Junior Seau. Hopefully we don't get news of other players that decide to take their own life because they feel like there's nothing to live for. We have to implement some things to help those players, because those players, was coming out of their schools, their hometowns, and they were the best, not only on the football field, but in a lot of respects in the classroom as well. So we'd love to have those players to go back into their communities to help change those communities, to make those communities better than what they were when they was in there.
This many years since you played your last game, how is your health?
From a cognitive standpoint, not too bad. I was able to defend my dissertation, and the professors, they didn't beat me up too bad. But from a physical standpoint, you know, Mitch, I have to have, within the next 2 to 3 years, I have to have a hip replacement and 2 shoulder replacements. Other than that, I'm doing okay.
When you think back on it, I mean, there was a Super Bowl. There were umpteen games that are still in your memory. Was it all worth it?
Oh, Mitch, that's a great question. I would do it all over again. I would have those 7 surgeries again, the 3 that I'm probably going to have within the next 3 to 4 years. You know, when I was a little boy, 9 years old, there was about 7.2 million playing Pop Warner flag football. There was 96 linebackers. When I play, there's 96 linebackers now in the National Football League, and I was one of them. Coming from a small town, I couldn't ask for anything else. I would do it all over again, but I just want to take the research that we're doing over at Marquette to make the young people that's in Pop Warner and flag football, when they get to the National Football League 10, 15 years from now, that they have a better transition than a Junior Seau or George Koontz or Brett Favre or Reggie White or Leroy Butler. That's my goal.
George Koontz, thank you so much. Best of luck with your work.
Appreciate it, Mitch. Thank you so much.
Dr. George Koontz played in the NFL for 9 seasons, 8 with the Green Bay Packers. He's now working with the Marquette University Urban Scholars Program. A book based on his doctoral work with former professional athletes is due out early next year.